Brooks, host of the Prudent Money Radio Show, heard daily on Bible School Radio 91.3 KDKR Decatur, Dallas, Fort Worth, and on 91.3 KYJC Commerce.
Portions of KDKR programming do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or staff.
Prudent Money with Bob Brooks is sponsored by the Prudent Money Foundation on 91.3.
Why you should be careful when it comes to brake repair. Today we're going to take a look. Stay tuned for the special Car Corner edition of Prudent Money. Good afternoon. This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. Thanks so much for joining me today. You know I do appreciate it. In the studio with me today is Tony Joe, as he is every Friday to take your Car Corner questions. The number to call is 1-877-913-5357. We'd love to hear from you today. Do have a line open if you've got a question or maybe a problem. Usually they are problems that people call in with. Mm-hmm. Tony Joe can take a stab at giving you a solution. So give us a call, 1-877-913-5357. So Tony Joe, how's it going today?
Pretty good, Bob. I'm gracefully blessed and glad to be here. And how are you feeling?
Good. It's been a long week. It's good. You know, it's funny. I walk in on Monday morning, and Travis, the security guard, sit in the same place.
Arrested you?
No, it didn't arrest me. Every Monday, and says, "Happy Monday morning to you." And the next thing I know, he's saying, "Happy Friday." It's just like going in warp speed. Where'd it go?
That's not a good sign. That means,
what yeah, does that mean?
That means you're getting older. Time flies.
If I'm getting older, what's that make you?
I know. That's why I'm depressed.
Really, really old.
I'm depressed because if you're getting older, my goodness, how old must I be?
I mean, you're almost old enough.
30
to be
years
my...
older than you. No, 20? 30 years.
30 years. Oh, boy. 1-877.
I'm old enough to be your older brother.
Yeah, much older brother. 1-877-913-5357. I would assume that they have age restrictions on your line of work. Don't they?
Self-imposed, because eventually you just wear out.
See, I got a feeling, number one, you'll outlive us all. But you'll be 90-something, and you'll still be out there fixing cars. I just got this feeling. Maybe?
I don't know. You know, it's funny, because... you know, they say if you enjoy what you do, you never work a day in your life. I enjoy what I do, but I feel at the end of the day like I've worked all day.
You work some insane hours, that's for sure. Let's talk a little bit about brake jobs, because I would imagine, and we always like to preface this anytime that we talk about any part of the car automotive repair space, if you will, mm-hmm. that there are good people and there are people who are just out to take your money. Right. And so we like to focus not so much on the good people, because you know what to expect from the good people. They treat you right, they take care of you, and they look out for your best interests. Mm-hmm. It's the bad people that we don't know. And as I've said many times, Tony Joe, if you don't understand how cars work, which 99.9% of us listening to you talk today don't understand, I mean, you got to trust people. And what's worse is sometimes you've got to trust people when you don't have a choice because you're in a desperate situation.
Yeah, that's true. And to put myself on the other side, being a consumer that doesn't know about cars because they're not supposed to. They obviously do something else for a living. I always try to think, how can a person protect themselves against bad information, bad judgment calls, and bad workmanship? You know, how do you know when you're getting the right thing done? And I always try to come up with some way, some angle where if I didn't know anything about a car, what would raise red flags with me? What would concern me and make me second-guess the place that I was at And oftentimes, you know, you can't. I mean, a lot of cases, you cannot. There's electronic ignition, you know, the electrical complexity of automobiles today make it almost impossible. So a lot of times, all you can do is ask for another opinion. You can ask a mechanic, you can look online, you can... There's ways to protect yourself, but it's work. It's research. You've got to work at it because you never know. And there's sometimes, in some cases, even I as a mechanic cannot think of an angle that a consumer that is not knowledgeable about cars, you know, what choices do they have? And sometimes I feel bad because if I had to have some financial advice, I would go to someone I trusted. I know a guy, you know.
Sure.
But if I didn't, what would I do? Well, I'd have to take a chance. I would have to make a phone call, set up an appointment with a financial planner, and take a chance that he's telling me the best thing for me.
Now, here's a situation that you brought up that is a tough one. You bring your car in, you don't know the mechanic, you don't know any, you're just straight off the street, got a problem, and nice guy. Wants to help, feel good about your interaction with him, got all the best intentions, diagnosed the problem right. But at the end of the day, the workmanship was absolutely horrible, and you could even tell it. What do you do in a situation like that? Because that's that could almost turn into your word against my word. Yeah, you say I don't see the problem that you're having.
Yeah, you know, that's another thing that you have to concern yourself with is workmanship and the level of workmanship, the competency level that you're, you know, attaining. And sometimes it's best to not jump to conclusions. Sometimes mistakes are made. People are human. Mechanics make a mistake. And the best thing to do is address it first with the shop and try to work the problem out between you and the mechanic or the owner or whoever's there. Then if things get serious and can't be worked out, then you have to go. There's different channels you can go through to get things done, legal channels. But, you know, the best thing to do is always just try to work with the people first. Don't get mad. Don't get upset. Just tell them, hey, you know, my car is doing this and it wasn't doing it before. And you put on brakes and now it's got all these rattles and, you know, you just try to work with the person. That's the best way to do it, is to try to work it out first with the owner of the business. If that doesn't work, then, yeah, you have options, and we could go into that sometime, you know, the different options. But oftentimes I have found that people will come in and say, I had so-and-so do this to my car, and now it's got a noise. Can you look at it? And I look at it, and I go, why don't you take it back to them? And try to work it out. Tell them, this is what you had, a second opinion, and this is what I see, and maybe you go back and work it out with them and see if they'll take care of this for you. And oftentimes they do. You know, I got to believe, I really mean this. We talk about the good people and the bad people out there working on cars. There's more good people than there are bad.
There is. You know what's interesting? We'll have to do a program on this. Just dawned on me is that we should have put together a list. Here are the questions that are totally unrelated in a way to what you brought your car in for that you need to ask the mechanic ahead of time. A couple of them being, what if you didn't fix it right? What's your policy? What you know, how clear is what the cost is going to be as far as if you know how long is it going to take you to diagnose the issue? Are you going to charge me for the issue? That kind of thing, because I think that there's a lot of us, and this happens in my business too, there's a lot of assuming going on instead of real questions being asked.
Mm-hmm. I can see that because that happens in my business as well.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about brakes. This is, you know, unfortunately, you see these advertisements all the time. That's why we're kind of maybe picking on these brake centers a little bit. Like you said, there's some good people out there and there's not so good people. Mm-hmm. But they have a introductory price, you know, $99.99 to come in and maybe get your brake pads fixed or replaced or whatever. You walk out of there with an $800 bill. because maybe they upsell, they did an upsell. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things you got to be careful about when it comes to taking your car to a brake center? I mean, you'd like to think, hey, this is what these individuals do all day long. They're the best at it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, maybe they're more the best at marketing a product and having you spend money that you shouldn't be spending.
That's always a possibility. And I will say that a lot of the brake specialist places are often good, knowledgeable, competent in what they do. However, I find it somewhat misleading only in my own personal experience with others. When they run the 99-95 brake special, that often, more often than not, you don't go in there and get it done for $99.95. It's just a misnomer. To me, they probably ought to rephrase the way they merchandise that promotion, because I just don't know anybody that ever actually came out with 99. And I'm not talking about my own personal friends and relatives. I'm talking about, you know, customers that say, yeah, I went in for this and they had the 99 special and it ended up costing me far more than that. So that's my own personal experience with that promotion. So I can't speak to, you know, the people that have had that successful 99 brake job, but I don't see it very often. So I wonder, oftentimes, they get you in there to look at your brakes, and often you can have complicating problems. That's not unreasonable, but they should maybe say up front that, you know, pending no sidebar issues or something like that, because I just find it a misleading promotion, and then they get in there and you end up spending more and more and more, which may or may not be true and necessary, and then you just end up paying a lot more money.
1-877-913-5357. This is Bob Brooks. Stick around. We'll be right back. Hello, this is Bob Brooks. Proverbs 22:3 and Proverbs 27:12 are the exact same verse word for word. I call them the stewardship verses of risk. A prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. On the Prudent Money Radio Show, we teach about risk, how to identify it, how to figure it out, and what to do about it. We believe that to be a prudent steward, you have to be a good risk manager. Listen to the Prudent Money Radio Show on Bible School Radio 91.3. Prudent Money, home of the modern day steward movement.
Hi, I'm Tim Moore, Senior Evangelist on Christ in Prophecy. Can you see the signs of the times multiplying all around? To stay up to date about unfolding events and get a biblical perspective on the signs of the times, listen to Christ in Prophecy. We'll reveal the prophetic hope for those who believe in Jesus Christ, as well as the Bible's warning about God's coming wrath to those who don't yet know Him.
Hi, this is Bob Brooks, host of the Prudent Money Radio Show. You know, marriage and money can be a toxic combination. The best way to avoid arguments over money is to practice this principle: show grace unless you are perfect. We all make financial mistakes. Treat your spouse with grace and love versus making them wrong and yourself right. Listen to the Prudent Money Radio Show on Bible School Radio 91.3. Prudent Money, the home of the modern day steward movement.
Welcome back. This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Show. Actually, the special car corner edition of Prudent Money. 1-877-913-5357. That is the number to call, and I do have a line open. We're talking about getting a brake job and making sure that you're going to the right place. We're talking about the problems that can happen if you go to brakes. Places where that's all they do is brake jobs. They advertise the $99.99 special, which never seems to happen. So, Tony Joe, out of all the years that you have been a mechanic, you've had to have some people come in and say, hey, well, I took my car into this brake center, and they said that that I need a whole new set of brakes, and it's going to be $1,000.
All right. Okay, well, let's take an example. A lot of things in the automotive repair industry can be subject to opinion or subject to scrutiny by a technician who is what we can call overzealous at times. This is where, it's hard to explain, but this is where experience comes in. If you have a guy fresh out of school and he really wants to do good and he's really excited and wants to do the right thing, oftentimes you can go down a path of spending a whole lot of money on things that really aren't necessary because he may see one little tiny detail that amounts really to nothing. However, he's got to say to himself, well, I don't want that to turn into something, so add that to the list. There's a common thing that I've seen where, you know, there might be, oh, like a little problem with a caliper that doesn't quite move back and forth the way it should, and it wore the brake pads down, and it's worn in a funny pattern. There's a lot of mechanics that might be listening know. The outboard pad might be worn right down, and the inboard pad really looks good. Pretty common problem that exists because the caliper slide pins are not lubricated properly, and they can seize up, and it's like applying the brake, Bob, to put it in simple terms, it's like applying the brake, and when you let off the brake pedal, the brake caliper really doesn't release. In that case, you don't need a new caliper, but a lot of guys will put a new caliper on their added expense.
1-877-913-5357. Let's go to Nick on line one. Nick, hey, this is Bob Brooks. Welcome to the Prudent Money. What's on your mind today?
I'm just calling to check on you two rascals. This is your combination guardian angel and legal counsel to make sure you're in compliance with all the laws today. I know that gives you great comfort.
It does. You have no idea.
Hey, I'm not sitting in a jail cell, so I consider myself lucky.
What can we do for you, counselor?
Tony Joe, I want you to know I'm obedient to you. Last time I talked to you guys and had jokes, you told me I had to have two jokes when I called back in, but I'm going to make you wait in the audience. And you'll just wait till another week because I do actually have a car question today, which is unusual for me, other than just spewing hot air.
Well, as long as you're calling in with jokes, but you accidentally have a car question, go ahead, shoot.
Well, let's do the car question here. I've got it's my old 1998 Honda Accord. My rotors are, you know, getting wobbly, you know, causing the steering wheel to wobble a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I remember you did a show 2 or 3 weeks ago where you said as long as you're driving down the street in a very quiet street, you're not hearing any noise, you haven't done any serious damage yet. Is that pretty accurate?
Well, Nick, we were talking about the noise indicator on the brake pad. Do you know what that sounds like? Are you familiar with that noise?
I think so, because I've definitely heard, I mean, it's sort of a grinding, I think, is my recollection.
Well, it sounds like, it's a good thing that maybe some of the other listeners will benefit from me explaining this. There is a piece on the brake pad designed to hit the rotor about 2-30 seconds before the pad gets into the metal. That noise sounds like fingernails scratching on a blackboard. That's an awful way to describe it, but that's what it sounds like. And it occurs not when you're applying the brake, but when you are not applying the brake. In order to hear it, you got to be going down kind of a quiet street or in an alley where there's fences and the noise will echo off. You got to listen for it. But if it's there, you will notice this fingernail scratching on a blackboard noise, and then when you apply the brake, just touch the brake pedal a little bit, that noise will go away because the noise will then be absorbed into the brake pad.
That's for the pads, right?
Correct. That's for the pads. Now, the rotors are obviously warped on yours if you're feeling the vibrating sensation when you apply the brake, then the rotors are already warped. They can either be resurfaced or maybe replaced if they're too out of round. But, you know, that needs to be addressed. The rotors can be warped, but the pads still may have enough padding material for you to go a while. So I would listen for that noise and try to estimate your time on that premise, you know, listening for that worn pad indicator.
Yeah, I've got a friend of mine who's probably going to do my brakes for me. I'm doing his will for him and his wife, but just trade out. But what the question I had in addition to clarifying that was, what are the other things? I mean, there's pads, there's rotors, there's calipers. What are the other, I don't know how many of them there are, things that, like if you took, talking about what Bob's talking about, if you took it to a, how many other things can they say, oh, yeah, this is wrong, that's wrong. How many things are there in the brake?
That's a great question.
Well, let's take, for instance, some of the common ones. The brake, there are, because the wheels have to go up and down with the suspension, you can't have steel lines running all the way to the brake calipers, obviously. So between the end of the steel line, there is a rubber line that goes to the brake caliper, and that is because it can flex up and down. And those brake lines, those brake hoses, can become worn, deteriorated like a tire. And if they were to give way, pop, or hemorrhage, then all the brake fluid go away, and your brake pedal would... it would pretty much go to the floor. You would still have some stopping power due to the design, inherent design of the brake system, but that's something that needs to be looked at on a car that has a lot of miles on it. Look at the brake hoses. Make sure they're not scuffed, chipped, or split or deteriorating in any way. And then we back up. The steel lines usually do not present a problem in most cases unless the car has been in an accident. But the one thing that can be problematic is the master cylinder itself. That is the primary pressure source that creates the ability for the brakes to have any kind of hydraulic pressure. Those also have seals inside them that can be subject to wear, age, contaminated brake fluid, things like that, which can ruin the integrity of the seals and also make your brake pedal feel funny and not give enough brake pressure. So that's another thing that can happen. In the there is a part of the vehicle that has what we call a metering device, which allows the brake pressure to be more effective in the front and kind of meter it in the rear, because most of the stopping power on a small car will be 70% of it will be in the front of the car. So the brake pressure will be applied mostly to the front end. Some will be divided at that point and go to the rear. And that metering device can go bad. It's called a proportioning valve, a metering valve. There's a lot of lingo terms for it, but that can go bad sometimes. It's not as common as anything else, but it does happen. Then you've got the... See, here's where... really complicated comes in. You've got the ABS system, which is part of the brake system, but not like people think. It does not affect your primary brake system itself. It works in conjunction with the brake system so that the wheels can't lock up at a certain point of braking. And that also carries with it some inherent problems that can happen. The computer on the pump can go bad. That's the most common thing. But also it has a pump and it has some valves that can also be subject to contaminated brake fluid and stop working. So it's very hard to try to change everything on a brake system just to have good brakes. It would cost a phenomenal amount of money. What we have to do is diagnose it. We have to look at every part of it, and we have to make a judgment on whether that part is good, bad, or leave it alone. And in most cases, a lot of the things that I mentioned right from the beginning of this conversation are not as common as pads and rotors. Calipers can be the next most common thing. Brake lines would be after that. And all the other stuff is uncommon to ever go bad, but it does happen and it's part of the system, so you got to bring it up.
Well, I would have just told you to get your pads replaced, Nick.
Do what?
I said I would have just told you to get your pads replaced.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my car over to Bob. Will you charge $15.95 for that, Bob?
$99.99.
Apparently, I elaborated too much.
You're about to run out of show here, so I'll have to save my jokes for next week or whenever.
Well, please call back and let's hear them.
All right, Nick. Thanks for calling, Nick. God bless. Hey, this is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. If you have a question for me, please go to the website at prudentmoney.com and send it in, because we are all out of time. Till we do meet again next time, keep the faith and have a great rest of the day.
That's all the time we have for today. Questions or comments for Bob, or to find out more great information like what you've just heard, visit www.prudentmoney.com. Be sure to join Bob Brooks again for the next edition of Prudent Money.